All right. Okay. So, Mr. Healy, you're up again.
Okay.
Ready. I think we're ready.
This is the second application of Mr. Healy. This one is for approximately 71 acres. This is in Matthews County, but nearby, within Blackwater Creek, and also a prong of Hampton Creek. And it is it also is protested by two nearby Highland property owners. So, again, we received this application and did our public notice as required by the code back in 2014. In January of 2015, we received an email from Ms. Dorothy Long, who is the owner of a property in the name of Green Plains LLC, protesting the Healy application. Her concerns included that the Green Plains property may be subject to an auction in June of 2015, and leasing the adjacent area could adversely affect the sale of the property. We don't have any detail. Ms. Long is here, and when I wrote this, I didn't have any real details about whether the auction ever happened, and I'll get to that subsequently. Mr. Healy did indicate on this lease he also was going to use just traditional on-bottom cultivation methods, and we do state here that it's unclear to us how that activity would adversely impact property values. We had previously received an application from Ms. Long, also on January 9, 2015, for approximately 26 acres adjacent to the actual Green Springs property. And I'll go through the sequence of this in a minute in the slides. With her continued concerns about adverse impacts to any sale of the Highland property in the future, and an additional complaint that Mr. Healy purportedly had been reported for stealing oysters, and that she had personally warned Mr. Healy about trespassing on the Green Plains property. We did contact our law enforcement division to determine whether there were any charges either pending or in the past against Mr. Healy, and they indicated they had no such record of any charges or complaints concerning Mr. Healy. And obviously, as you've noted some of our previous cases today, upland property rights are outside the jurisdiction of the commission and would be handled by the county. On January 26th, we also received another application from Alham LLC, signed by Mary S. Doss, requesting to also lease 35 acres of ground adjacent to the Highland LLC property, overlapping Mr. Healy's application. The Green Plains application also overlapped a portion of Mr. Healy's application. She indicated on the application that it should be considered a protest to Mr. Healy's pending application, and we did request some additional information, but when I wrote this, I hadn't gotten it. So last week, let me go a little further, say we did survey the ground in March of 2016 by a commission surveyor, and the actual survey constitutes 63.60 acres. Again, Mr. Healy indicated he would use on-bottom techniques. There are a number of leases in Blackwater Creek to the east of the application. And this area, we do believe, would support shellfish cultivation and propagation. Again, as noted in the previous case, there was no record of harvest by Mr. Healy from his existing piece of ground, and he does not have all the current permits that would allow him to actually directly harvest. So on Thursday of last week, Ms. Long visited the office, and I met with her for a number of hours about the Green Springs, Green Plains property. So this is the competing application from the Green Plains property. It starts near the southern end of what Mr. Healy applied for and basically follows along the shoreline of the property owned by Green Plains. A note here is that the Green Plains property is subdivided into three parcels along this shoreline as it goes up Blackwater Creek and into Hampton Creek, which is that smaller creek to the west, and that's germane to the future discussion here. The Ilum application is represented here. They own the point of land that extends down to Hampton Creek. and then up Blackwater Creek, as you see there, up to that road terminus up to the road. Those are the kind of competing applications and the protest applications. This is the area that was actually surveyed for Mr. Healy. He did apply all the way down to the south there beyond the Green Plains application. There is a residential subdivision at the end of that point that a private road that you see here extends down to, that goes through mostly the Green Plains property, but one small portion of it, I believe, actually goes through the island property. It is a privately maintained road, but these residents do have a right-of-way to use the road to access it. I believe Mr. Haley may actually live in this location. He could verify that. This is the area we surveyed. We stayed offshore of these existing piers here because there are a number of piers in this location. And at the very northern end, we stopped short of the pier at the Islam LLC property. This area is all open. There are no restricted health department classification areas involved with this application. So during my meeting with Ms. Long with the Green Plains property, she indicated that not only she had already applied for a regular lease, that she wished to submit riparian applications for each parcel of the Green Plains property. So the way the law is written in Virginia, you can get a riparian lease in front of your property. Has to be in the name of the owner. But if you own multiple properties, you can get multiple riparians with each parcel of land. So we indicated we would accept three separate applications along the shoreline. So basically, the Green Plains property is in this location, starting about right here. So we accepted one application in this general area, one in this general area, and then one up into Hampton Creek. During that same visit with Ms. Long, we discussed piers. She indicated that because these are separate parcels, they almost certainly would want to build piers here at some point, either her or subsequent owners. And she did submit three pier applications on that same day, on last Thursday. The next day, I met with Ms. Doss from Islam. She came in the office, and she also submitted a riparian application for in front of the Islam property. Now, they already have a pier. She did not submit any kind of pier application. Both of these property owners, while they did submit applications, they're somewhat similar to the Fahrenholt in the property in the other application, in that they did not give me, when they applied, the exact location of where they wanted the riparians. And for Ms. Long, she also did not give me the exact location yet of the piers, pending talking to her land surveyor who had done some work for her on the upland. She wanted to determine what would be the best depths and the locations for the piers. And, you know, I did tell her that, you know, we would need to know the exact location of the riparians, but that they would trump Mr. Haley's application wherever she wanted them located along the shoreline of the three parcels. We also had a discussion about the piers and indicated that I would modify my recommendation on this application to obviously exclude the riparian areas, but also would suggest that the commission consider excluding the area around each one of the pier applications based on an actual location and pier design that she would submit. So I'm going to have a similar recommendation on that one to we had on the other one related to some conditions before we resurvey this, should you decide to lease any of this to Mr. Haley. So that's kind of the complicating factor with this one, and my recommendation is obviously a little dated in your eval because of all these things that happened on Thursday and Friday. I just wanted to zoom in here a little closer to show that it's kind of blurry because I zoomed in so far. You can't really see it, but there is a pier here. That's why we stopped short here of the actual northern extreme of what Mr. Haley applied for. And also in talking to Ms. Doss, because they have a sailboat here, she was uncomfortable with how close we did come here, even with the way we surveyed it. And that she has concerns about particularly this stretch of the river, which is the creek, which is relatively narrow, and whether if this area was used, and particularly if cages are ever put on it. Again, Mr. Healy's not indicated that's what he'd do, but he would have the legal right to do that, subject to navigation, that this could cause some problems with navigating a sailboat to the pier versus a motorboat, which does take a little more berth to operate. I agreed to consider that, and in my recommendation, I am going to recommend reducing this area slightly for what we actually surveyed to Mr. Haley. And again, Ms. Doss and Mr. Haley can address, you know, how they feel about that. So that's kind of the area that I delineated would be an area we might want to, that the commission might want to consider excluding from the area that's currently surveyed. So this is the actual plat, and it looks funny because I turned it on its side, but I was trying to keep this in the same orientation of the drawing you just saw. So north is straight up the slide, as you can see from the north arrow here. The area we were just talking about is right here. And it just colored in there. And so that's kind of the area I'm going to recommend that we remove from the surveyed area. There would be one riparian carved out for the green plains in this area, one in generally in this area, and then one more down in this area. This is where the existing piers at the subdivision already exist. Again, there'd be also within this area that I'm noting excluding would be where the alum could exercise their riparian right and get a riparian there. So in light of that, hopefully you understood all that. we do recommend a resurvey of the area to obviously remove any riparian applications we've received from either Green Plains or Island. Again, with the condition, as in the last application, that each one of those property owners do provide us with the actual location of where they want their riparian, up to 0.50 acres, within 60 days of any commission decision on the Haley application. We'd also recommend deleting the northernmost end of the Haley application adjacent to the island property of approximately 6 acres, and then to delete any area of the three pending pier applications that we have received to buffer those structures and basically not include them in the lease to Mr. Haley if it's approved by a minimum of 100 feet. And again, that the applicant provide us with actual locations and design and size of the piers being proposed within 60 days of any decision by the commission. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions on this one.
Do we have any questions of Mr. Steyer? Mr. Ballard.
In the written comments, it looks like the only written comment we received in opposition was the sale of the property affecting the lease affecting property values, and then something to the effect of stealing of oysters, which didn't seem to be very credible.
Well, both of the protestants are here, and they may want to elaborate on their actual concerns, but we did feel we had enough from each one of them to constitute an actual protest. So, okay. And I think they'll have some additional comments on that.
Any other questions of the commission? All right. Is the applicant here again? I'm sure he is.
Definitely here.
Mr. Healy, welcome back.
I don't know what to say about this one. All of a sudden, what they're asking for wasn't on the original protest. Now she wants part of it because the sailboat can't get out of there. I don't have oysters on the bottom to affect the sailboat getting out of there. That's been a lease before. It didn't affect it. There's probably oysters there now, and it's not affecting it. So I don't understand that whole.
Okay.
And as far as the other part, the Green Plains, they were protesting it because it would affect the property value. And y'all stated to me that y'all do not determine whether any adverse impact to upland property values the granting or the lease may have. So I don't see where that should be even a consideration. So now she wants to put docks. Well, where she wants to put the docks, there, I don't think there's a house site that can be built there. She's timbered most of the timber on that property since she applied for it. And I just don't see that whether any of their protests are appropriate. And if I, once I get their leases, if they want to put docks, they can go through like they always do and apply, and I have to grant, I can either say yes or no, oppose it, but I've always let other people put docks on my leases over the years. And if I was y'all, that's what I would do. I would let me get the leases like I am, and if they want to put a dock on it, then do the, go through the channels. They're doing it right now for obvious reasons.
All right. Any questions of Mr. Healy?
I don't think this is anything to bargain with. I think I should get the lease as I apply for it.
Thank you, Mr. Healy. All right, we will now hear from the protestants. Are they here and would like to be heard? Yes, ma'am. Come forward. Let me swear you in. Do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Would you state your name in the microphone?
Yes, I am Mary Doss, and I am one of the partners of Island Farm. One of the reasons I did not have a written proposal or protest was my father is also a partner in this property, and he's had three strokes. So he is really the one that has the most knowledge about the navigation coming through here. My main protest has to do with the navigation of the 38-foot sailboat. As of right now, the Marine Resources did their survey and put out poles. I cannot get the boat out right now without hitting the poles. I want to get the bottom cleaned on Sunday. My cousin and I went out, and another boat has come through, and the pole is completely like this. If I could show you this. Can I put this up here?
We'll have to keep that, but you can put it up. But yes, that'll be great, right up there. Can you operate that thing, Mr. Stagg?
I don't know. I think I can or not.
Well, this kind of just shows you.
I think we have someone who can help us with. Stay close to the microphone so we can hear you and it can be recorded.
Ooh, can you blow it up a little bit more? Is there any way we can?
I'd like to blow it out, but I'm pretty sure she wants to look at this area up here.
Maybe your drawing would be better, but you can't, on your drawing, you can't see the sandy points coming up there from my fields. So you see the sailboat at the end. How can I put it up here so I can use the pointer? I can't. May I proceed? And then you can't hear me if
sure.
I go up there, can I?
Mr. Stagg might be able to help you with a pointer, I think, right there.
Oh, there we go. So, okay. So you see the sailboat at the end, 38 foot, draws 6 foot at the bottom. There is about this much room to turn that boat around. The channel through here is so narrow, you cannot get two boats side by side that are that large through there. This channel has also, I wish my dad was here, the silt has covered it up. So it's barely hitting 6 feet. And the sides, it's so narrow now that it's very difficult. In fact, last year, he got hung up here. The year before, he got hung up there. My feeling is they're probably going to have to dredge that sand because you're not going to be able to get in and out of here. My other fear is that this ground that he's applied for right through here is so shallow. There is no way you could bottom shell that. I would guess you would have to do cages. This weekend I went out and walked. I can ankle walk all the way out to the channel, just to the top of my ankles. So this is probably not even to a foot. This is maybe 6 feet there, right through here, that I can turn the boat around. And then only through this channel, which is so small, is the 6 feet. So you have the line drawn here This makes me very nervous because that's how you get through there. So if he were to put cages, it would impede the ability to get in and out of the channel. This is the end of Blackwater Creek. It is, I could walk from here to there. It is so narrow and so shallow. So that's my biggest concern. We also have two other leases here, and they're actively in the water. We also have multiple watermen that have crab leases in there. So we have buoys with crab, already some crab cages back there that are very difficult to navigate. So I think that considering the recreation that we do, my kids do kayaks, paddle boards. We obviously have the large sailboat. There's some other large sailboats back here also and along here. I think it just gets extremely crowded. And I think it, I don't know if we can all live, work, play safely in this small area. So I would love to see it come back to here. Maybe one point back. And then he still has so much waterway to oyster, and that way we can all live together. But I do have large concerns to be able for us to use the waterway in the manner we would like to also use it.
Thank you. Any questions for Mrs. Dawes?
I got one.
Yes, sir.
Is there some kind of a point? Yeah, I see where you were had the marker where that line is there. But is there something on the land that you can identify where that point is on the river? In other words, is there, you know, a big tree sitting out there, or is there?
Well, it's definitely a point of sandy land that goes out. And actually, there's a stake at the end of it that's been there for my dad to navigate his boats in and out of there because you can't see it when you're coming in and out. And, I mean, you're almost having to do this to come in there now.
And where is that point on that map?
This is the one Mr. Stagg had recommended. This is the one that comes up really far.
And that's where that marker is in the water to guide your dad.
Yes, and that marker is a couple of boats ahead of now, and it's like this. And I, with that marker in the middle of that channel, I could not get my boat out.
Like.
All right, Dr. Mr. Erskine, Ms. Dawsey, one more question.
I had a question. You testified a minute ago that you said our two other leases. What were you referring to?
Oh, the other two leases on the other side.
So do you own those leases?
No, I do not.
Oh.
No, there are the watermen that are actively oystering.
Oh.
I mean, I love that. I'm not against oystering.
Okay.
I have no problem with that.
And if I can just follow up with a question, do you know what kind of oystering they're doing? Are you alluded
doing,
to cages, or are they doing
dredging? Well, they have the deeper side of the creek, and they are bottom shell.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
And they are successfully doing that.
Thank you. Any further questions? Great. And are there any other protestants? Yes, sir, please, or ma'am. All right, I'll swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. And would you state your name for us,
Dorothy
please?
Long.
Would you, a little bit louder and into the microphone, please?
Dorothy Long.
Thank you, Mrs. Long.
Okay. Members of the commission, thank you for considering the protest by Green Plains LLC. I will outline the environmental situation, providing a brief geographic and historic perspective, and then describe the navigational issues. Environmental situation. The Virginia Institute of Marine Science, VIMS, has reported the historical presence and growth of submerged aquatic vegetation, SAV, along the shoreline of Green Plains, specifically Blackwater Creek. We have an email that was sent to me by VIMS. So the salve has been found historically on Blackwater Creek. In order to understand the situation, geographic and historic perspective may be helpful. Mobjack Bay Estates is an extremely high-density development in a very low-lying area at the end of the peninsula surrounded by Blackwater Creek to the east and the North River to the south and the west. The only access to this community is via Daniel Avenue, private road, in fact, a right-of-way through Ilam and Green Plains. This high-density populated development was built long before zoning guidance and would never be approved by today's standards. Only after the devastating Hurricane Isabel in 2003 did the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, assist the community not once but twice to rebuild and improve the conditions, including septic. The adjacent property owners at the mouth of the Blackwater Creek, Charles and Judith Sparks, had illegally constructed a pier and a bulkhead adjacent to parcel three.
On parcel three. The approximately 8.
Despite the impending lawsuit already filed and reports to the sheriff and VMRC to remove the structures within the encroachment, Sparks rebuilt and improved the structures after Hurricane Isabel destroyed them. After many years, having been employed experts and surveyors, Wayne Lewis, VHB, and Bay Design Group, Green Plains won. Chip Nykirk of VMRC even testified. Sparks was ordered to remove all structures within the encroachment. He purchased the waterfront property and built a pier to the east of his house. The lower density...
Excuse me, Ms. Long, can you... We need to stick to the application. I'm okay. Having a hard time understanding this history and its relevance to the application.
Okay. The history pertains to the relevance of salve. There was no salve, according to the VIMS website, between 2003 and last year, 2 years ago. The information for this year is not, and the report isn't out yet. There was an indication last year for salve. I have an email here saying that there is historic reference, and I believe that is last year and this year. I had an email from Dr. Orth stating that there was less salve in that particular area where Mr. Sparks was ordered to remove his bulkhead and pier. And my suggestion to you is the reason that there may have been less salve there was because of his efforts as ruled by the court.
All righty. Thank you.
Mr. Haley suggested that I could not list the property parcels 1, parcel 2, and parcel 3 separately. That is not the case. It has been listed separately previously. I have a plat showing the perk sites. Do you have any questions regarding
that? No.
And I intend to sell. There was an auction held last July, not only of parcels 1, 2, and 3, but 1 through 8. In my 50 of 50 years, I've kept, sadly, the sheriff's office at VMRC and everybody else pretty, the game warden pretty much engaged. We have 619 acres, 2 miles of waterfront on Blackwater Creek and on the North River, which can be divided. My intention is obviously to sell it and for the person to divide it. The auction did happen. It did not meet the reserve.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
Any questions of Mrs. Long? Does VIMS want to make any comments on the SAV in this area?
Yes, Lyle Varnell, VIMS, Ms. Long. Ms. Long does have the data that we have from our website. The presence and absence in these upper areas, and I would assume that it would be rupia, which is the widgeon grass. It's more ephemeral than the eel grass at this point. I can't state that definitively, but that's general concept that you see in most upper reaches of these types of things, especially off the Mob Jack. I live near here, and I'm familiar with the area. So.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Lyle. Any questions of Lyle before you? Ms. Hitzcomb?
It looks like it's, the SAV is just at the mouth, but not further up the river where he's looking to lease. Is that correct, or...?
Well, I would have to look at the data myself. I would not know other than speaking of here. It's it does come and go in this area quite a bit.
Thank you.
Mr. Stagg, do you have any comment with regard to...
I would just note that Mr. Haley's application did go all the way down to the south where you see the big swath of submerged aquatic vegetation. And this slide does show some minimal amounts right along the shoreline, some of which might actually be slightly inside what we surveyed. I did tell Ms. Long that we would review that again, knowing that we're going to be going back out there to do the riparians and if we needed to adjust Mr. Haley's application slightly offshore. But she is correct. We look at SAV, and it is a policy not to lease areas that have submerged aquatic vegetation, and we use VIMS's data. But as she noted, there was a lack of SAV in this area consistently since 2003 until just the last couple of years, some small pockets have showed up in this area. There's always been some to the south, and it's sporadic over the years how wide and dense it is. But we would definitely look at that when we go back out to do any of the riparian applications. But
thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Are there any other protestants that wish to be heard at this time? No other protestants? All right, I will close the public hearing and act on a motion. Yes, sir.
Rebuttal.
If you would like to have a rebuttal, that's, excuse me.
This is the area I'm not applying for. Mm-hmm. This is not, I do this. Ms. Dawes' concern about navigation out of that creek is totally loomed out of its proportion. And if she walked where she could, says she walked, she can walk on water. I'm more familiar with that creek than either one of these women are. I've lived there for 26 years. I know it very well. There's no problem with them turning that boat around and getting out of there. There's never been before, and nothing's going to change. The stake she's talking about is the one that I furnished for the state to stake those grounds with, and they didn't stick any of them straight. They're all leaning over, and I hope that's not the way they will leave them at the end when we finally get this resolved. And I don't know what Ms. Long is talking about, whatever, but like I say again, if she wants to get proper docs after I get the lease, then that's no problem.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Healer. All right. Anything you want to add, Mr. Stagg, before we render a vote?
Well, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, I see one in the corner.
Mr. Stagg, has this place that's been applied for, was it previously Oyster Ground at some point in time?
I didn't do a lot of historical research because that wasn't really an issue anybody raised. But I think some of this area was previously leased.
Okay.
Any other questions?
One note I would make about this navigation in this area. Doss did indicate she had concerns when she was in my office, you know, all the way down to here or even further. This was kind of a compromise in between. But it was my understanding that it is pretty shallow on this side. And certainly if Mr. Healy wanted to put cages here, it might be a problem. But the deeper water is to the east, I think near where this lease line already is. So just because there's a lease here doesn't mean you can't navigate over it. I mean, there's already a lease on the eastern side, and boats do navigate. And they're using traditional methods as well. So should Mr. Healy get the lease in this area or even up here and want to put cages on it, we would probably tell him he couldn't, if it would interfere with not only Ms. Doss, but anybody else navigating the creek, because, again, cages can't cause any more than just a minimal impact in navigation. Okay. Certainly, if the commission wants to extend the area to be excluded to this point, we're going to be going back out there to resurvey us one way or the other because of the riparian, so we could certainly accommodate that. But this was This was my attempt to give them certainly an area to turn their sailboat around. I understand that issue with the close proximity of this line, although there's only a stake here and here, the way we staked it. There is no stake right at the pier.
Okay. And do you, if we were to use that point further to the south, do you have any descriptive term for that?
No, other than, you know, it is the final point in a north-south direction before you turn, sort of go down to Hampton Creek. But, I mean, we know where it is, and if that's where you're going, I think we'll understand a motion if you want to move that line down to there. We'll know where to survey it. Okay. It is a pretty prominent point there.
It looks like it.
Not so much in this blurred photograph, but.
Okay. Well, we will now close the public hearing and entertain discussion and a vote.
Can we see a staff recommendation again, please?
So we are recommending leasing the area, basically a survey to exclude any riparian areas of the three parcels of Green Plains and the one application of Ilam, to delete an area of approximately 6 acres or more than that if the commission deems that's appropriate, and also to honor the pier applications of Green Plains once that they're established where they are and the size of the pier, and we would buffer them 100 feet on all sides. So on the three sides in the water, we would stay at least 100 feet off of those piers, proposed piers. Again, we would want to know that information within 60 days to proceed with finalizing the survey.
Mr. Franz.
Yeah, you know, we've heard testimony here today that the other side of the creek is deeper, that it is an active oyster bar that's being worked by oyster boats. So that would probably be the main navigational part of that area. So I would make a motion to accept staff's recommendations.
All right. Wayne, we have a motion.
Second.
A second by Mr. Minor. A motion by maybe Mr. France and a second by Mr. Minor. Is there any further discussion before we call for a vote? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, Mr. Stagg.
Finally eat lunch now.